This is the Creative Sports Podcast.
My name is Justin Peterson.
And joining me are Brock Rahm.
Okay, so we're going to rewind that back, and I'm going to ask my question again.
And Darius Thomas.
I don't even remember what I did last week.
Our guest today is Avery Owens, who's a graphic designer for FanDuel. We'll get into the art of designing for a product and the ways that Avery maintains a healthy work-life balance. All right, Brock, you want to
hit us up
with time that is?
Let's clap on 23.
If you're not a part of the sports creative community, just kidding, just.
It's okay. I'll make you voice it, and then we'll see if you
say it. No, we're not. You should see me struggling over here to read my own writing for intros when I have to.
It looked like you had good penmanship when you sent me what you.
It's not the penmanship. The penmanship is great. I can write it, but it's the reading and making sure that the inflection is right. Yeah, it is. Yeah, but let's take that out of school, right? I'm just kidding.
Hey everyone, welcome to the show. My name is Garrett Wright. I want to start out with a big thank you to APM Music for donating the tracks we use on this podcast. Also, a reminder that this podcast is an extension of the sports creative community on Slack. So if you're hearing this and not a member of that community yet, you should head over to sportscreativeslack.com and sign up for free.
Welcome back to the Creative Sports Podcast. Today we have Avery Owens as a graphic designer at FanDuel. So we'll get into a little bit of the fantasy land in sports. So thanks so much for joining us, Avery, and welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you guys for having me. It's a pleasure.
Excited to get in and talk to you a little bit about what you do at FanDuel. But first, can you just give us a little background on how you got started and interested into graphic design industry?
Basically, as a kid, I was into cartoons, comic books, so started drawing and illustrating things. Ended up looking at colleges for graphic design as a major. I went to Sacred Heart University, majored in graphic design, graduated with my Bachelor of Arts. Honestly, a lot of my work out of college was mostly freelance, work for smaller companies, friends, family, that kind of thing. And then at one point I was like, I would definitely like to move into doing things on a more full-time basis. Salary would be nice. And just also getting more experience in the field, working with peers and having an art director, having a creative director who's, you know, dedicated to helping me grow in that role.
That's awesome. What kind of things you talked about illustration? How much do you incorporate some of what you grew up doing into what you do today? And how have you seen that help you in your graphic design career?
It's helped me a lot in my career overall because, with the creative process, many designers will tell you that a lot of concepts, a lot of ideas start out on paper first, at least from a layout standpoint, before, you know, you go to your computer and you start working. In my work day to day, that's really where it is right now. It's just when I'm working on something, whether it's from scratch or it's, you know, a project that I'm updating. I'll sketch something out just to get an idea of how it might work or what layouts I could use, and just explore things a little bit. To be honest, nowadays I use it more when I'm drawing with my daughter in downtime and things like that, and I kind of use that time to stay sharp. And not fall, into laziness.
So what actually, when did you kind of figure out in life, was it early or during school, that you had an interest in graphic design? What piqued that interest, and also what kept you wanting to continue to do it?
That's a good question. So as I mentioned, I was drawing pictures and illustrating when I was younger. Honestly, reading comic books and stuff kind of kept me interested as I got older. Funny, in high school, I was known for knowing comic books and Marvel and DC and all that, but nobody ever really made fun of me for it. They just knew I had the knowledge about those kinds of things. And I was in high school when movies like Daredevil were coming out. you know, the second and third X-Men, those movies. So, like, you know, comic book movies, Spider-Man 2, Spider-Man 3, comic book movies were on the rise at that point. So, you know, a lot of kids in high school were like, oh, hey, do you draw Spider-Man? And I do like a little sketch of Spider-Man. And then, you know, they ask, hey, you know, my parents don't know about this, but I want to get a tattoo. Do you think you could draw, like, you know, Wolverine's claws for a stencil for the tattoo artist? And that, you know, I started making a way doing that. You know, drawing tattoos for friends and, you know, their friends, and obviously, you know, asking for compensation where appropriate. But then I was like, okay, well, this is cool. I'm actually getting some money and actually getting some experience drawing, which is, you know, something I hadn't considered really up until that point. It was just a hobby.
Do you have a style or a specific look to your work?
That's a good question. For my design work, I'm a big fan of typography, so I love chances to be able to create a hierarchy with type, whether, you know, it's like a big bold H1 and then, like, you know, an H2 that complements it. When it comes to drawing, I dabble more on the cartoony side, but I do like to incorporate elements of realism from time to time.
I think, you know, looking at some of your stuff on, as I was creeping on your Behance before this, some of the stuff you do for FanDuel, I'm sure you have to keep in mind a lot more, maybe even so more so than other graphic designers, is kind of the visual literacy of your designs, right? Because I feel like a lot in sports design, like if you're a graphic designer for a team or whatnot, sometimes the impact of the message can take a backseat to the visuals a little bit, right? Whereas mm-hmm. with a lot of the stuff you have to do for FanDuel, the message has to be front and center, but you still want to have that visual impact. How do you balance that kind of visual literacy of, like, we need to get this message across in this style, but I want this type of visual impact? Is that something you have to keep in mind while you're designing for FanDuel?
Yes, absolutely. As with the sports betting industry itself, you know, you have to kind of assume when you're designing things for users and customers that this might be their first time they're looking at it. This might be their first time on the app. So you want to make sure that you, as you said, you know, there's a level of literacy where they can read the headline, they can read the offer, but at the same time, there's a little bit of DNA of whatever you're creating for in the background. Like if it's for baseball, you want to make sure you have elements of baseball, whether it's, you know, subtle lights in the background, it's, you know, the turf itself, you know, or even like maybe like a cutoff of a baseline or something like that. You want to make sure that you create something that's not too on the nose, but at the same time, definitely gives the viewer a vibe of what they're looking at and what it might be about, even if they don't read the title itself off the bat.
Even with the grind of the full-time, you know, FanDuel work, it looks like you still take time to do personal work. How do you balance that? Is there something that just, like, inspires you and it's like, okay, I want to go do this. It's outside of what I do for FanDuel. Do you do that to keep yourself sharp? What's kind of the catalyst for a lot of that personal work you still do?
It's a good question. The catalyst is just things that I see, feelings that I feel. That's an artsy answer, but, one recent inspiration was my daughter's birthday. She turned 3, and there's kind of a theme since she turned 1 that I would do birthday graphics for her just to kind of keep myself sharp and think about, you know, things I've actually learned at FanDuel and how could I incorporate them into something that's way more creative and just something I could just go with whatever I was feeling instead of being beholden to brand guidelines and things like that.
As a designer, you know, every graphic designer has some similarities, but also their own style. How do you keep yourself from falling into a just rhythm of doing the same thing over and over? Like how are you constantly finding ways to create something new?
I try to do different things outside of design, if that makes sense. Like I'll go outside, I'll take a walk, I'll look at things that are in the actual natural world. Like, you know, up here it's a whole bunch of woods and trails and things like that. And I'll just take a walk to kind of clear my mind. And ironically, I mentioned her a couple of times already, but I'm actually inspired by some shows that my daughter watches. Like, you know, the art styles and stuff are fresh. They're vibrant. They have to be. They're kids shows. So sometimes I see something there. I'm like, okay, maybe if I could find a way to emulate this style, or, you know, get this kind of emotion going that they have in this show, maybe, you know, that's something I could use, you know, in my tool belt for work.
And with FanDuel being it's pretty much a new arm of the sports creative extension, right? Are you looking at any sports graphic designers for inspiration, or are you just, you know, kind of mixing non-sport on the day-to-day to try to come up with new concepts for FanDuel?
A little bit of both. Like, I definitely keep my ear to the ground when it comes to, you know, sports design and contemporaries and what schools are doing, what other companies are doing. But also, I do understand that, like, companies like FanDuel and even DraftKings, our other competitors are like trailblazers in that, as you mentioned, like, you know, sports betting itself on this level of marketing is new to the overall sports creative universe. So I try to find a good balance between looking for inspiration from, I don't want to say usual, but looking for inspiration from the sources that you usually go to for sports creative, and then trying to look outside of that and seeing how can I bring something in that maybe hasn't been done before or hasn't been done frequently before.
Are there any specific places that you go or that you would source some of that inspiration? I know you had mentioned, you know, letting your creative juices flow with your daughter's birthday. Is there anything that you can pull from that, or any opportunities that you can run with from different sources? Where would you find those?
Mainly it's like small stuff, like, you know, you're browsing on Netflix, you're looking through shows for, you know, to watch. And for me, it's, you know, sometimes it shows for my daughter, and like I kind of look at the preview blocks and how obviously it's not the actual movie posters that you've seen online for some of these, you know, movies and shows, but it's more like how did Netflix take these and arrange them to draw you in? Like maybe it's how the picture's framed, and then where the actual title is, or how they may have used the secondary logo lockup for a movie or a show other than the primary one. And I think like small stuff also, like even driving on like 95 up in Bridgeport, there's a bunch of billboards and things like that. So some of them are good and some of them aren't good. But, you know, either way, you know, I like to look at these things and like, okay, that's what this company is doing. That's what this looks like, you know. And I wonder, is that a trend or is that an emerging trend? And then when I get home, I, you know, try to make a mental note to kind of look into things a little bit deeper.
You know, personally, I think a decent amount of our listeners have only been, you know, kind of on the team side of creative or the network side or something like that. So can you kind of take us through what a typical day is like at FanDuel and what the workflow is kind of like from, like, you know, here's what we need to ideation to final delivery and what that all encompasses?
Just, I can't get too deep, like super detailed, but I can definitely take you through what my day looks like. For me, a typical day is just looking at my tasks, what I have to do. And that can range from working on a concept for a new project to just updating assets that already exist. And for us in creative, specifically within marketing, that can, you know, be anywhere from social graphics to things that might go on FanDuel TV in a lower crawl, things that actually appear on the app, like advertisements or interstitials, things that basically push offers or suggestions for new features to the users. So basically prioritizing that is a very big part of my day. In terms of concepting, you know, we work very closely with our creative director and our art directors to ideate and to basically go through the design process to be as creative as possible, first and foremost. And then after that, it's like, okay, how are we meeting the business needs? How are we meeting the needs of the users also? Because that's important. You want to make sure you're communicating with the audience, which in this case is the customers and users.
So when you're in a product, I assume that a lot of the updates and things that you're making are quick changes, and you basically have templates that you're updating. How do you prioritize the concepting with the day-to-day work, and how does that work in your role?
That's a good question. So specifically, what I work on is not like the UX part of the product. What I work on is specifically like the creative side, but we do work with the product team. There's a lot of product marketing that happens. So when it comes to concepting and working on creative that goes within the app or that appears within the app, you have to think about, all right, how is this going to look on a screen, whether it's the laptop, a personal computer or a tablet or a phone. And you have to really think with that kind of mindset first, especially when you're concepting, because it's like, okay, if I go with a big splash image, vibrant colors, and big type, is it going to look good when I create a version that's supposed to only go on mobile and then everything's kind of shrunk down? And those are kind of things that we all the designers, including myself, have to think of day to day whenever we update things with new imagery or whenever we start from scratch with concepting.
Just hearing you talk there kind of reminds me of my time at Dapper, because we had certain people working on the UX side of things. Like you just mentioned, you're not on the UX side. You're more on the marketing, more what people would see from an agency style of content, it sounds like. Is that accurate?
Mm-hmm.
So yep. are there designers specifically on the UX that you interface with, or how do you collaborate across the organization so that the whole system still maintains its look and feel so that it's FanDuel? Do you all roll up to a singular head of creative, or are there different pockets within the organization that have different objectives that you're trying to hit?
Our objective is really to meet the briefs that are brought to us. And, the product team has briefs for us. The marketing people at large have briefs for us. Basically, one of our biggest jobs is to make sure that everything looks uniform, because sometimes creative doesn't live on just one medium. It might be something that appears in the app, and then we need to create a version of that appears on TV, on FanDuel TV, or even in a commercial later on. So we have to consider those kinds of things. We don't work hand in hand with the product team, but at the same time, there is a level of communication that we have with them, especially when it comes to things like having an image of a phone with interface in it. We have to make sure that's accurate, or that we're showing what the proper mechanic is on the phone. So that's also when communication comes in big.
How much time are you finding to spend on freelance, if any? And if so, how are you finding ways to kind of garner those opportunities?
That's a very good question. A lot of it is connections, actually. Like, I try to be present on Twitter, right? I'm definitely on there daily. I definitely tweet at least 5 times a day. But I think that's also opened the door to being connected to so many creatives and actually having built relationships that some of these connections have led to just people reaching out and being, hey, would you be interested on, working on this project possibly, or helping out with this? And, depending on the need and depending on availability, I do agree to help. It's always good to kind of flex the freelance muscle. I see it as kind of a way to stay fresh and get out of the inevitable monotony of the 9-to-5 schedule. But a lot of those opportunities have come from connections, organic connections also, of just talking to people.
You mentioned Twitter, and for those who are aware and those who are not aware, the infamous design Twitter in sports. What are your thoughts?
Oh boy. are we talking about I've been on Twitter for a while. There's like a design Twitter has evolved in many different ways. And I'd say the design Twitter now that I see is different from the one that I dipped my toes in about, I would want to say, almost 6 years ago now. I mean that in a good way. But I'd say design Twitter and sports design Twitter specifically are integral if you want to work in this space. Even if you don't participate, I think you owe it to yourself to at least see what's going on, what people are talking about from time to time. I remember couple of weeks ago, I think maybe it was last week, but they unveiled the new We Love New York logo and Design Twitter kind of exploded with different takes on it. And it's funny because my wife didn't even realize they had changed the logo until I showed her. So it's kind of interesting how Design Twitter and Twitter in general is just the universe within itself.
Yeah, that's a great way to address that one. I've seen the other side of Design Twitter where it's a bunch of back and forth. And, you know, I think sometimes we forget in the creative space that we're all here in one big community to help each other, to learn from each other, and all those things. But it gets a little interesting, more interesting in design because it's like, oh, well, this person is stealing from me and this person is doing this. It's like, we're all in this together. Like, you know, it's even with the sports creative community having 7,000 people, you know, as a part of the organization, it's still a small community of people when you look at the grand picture of that. But what about other opportunities in the freelance space? Are you finding time or with your role at FanDuel, are you also bringing others on with you to kind of collaborate on projects, or is it kind of a low-key, low-maintenance day-to-day for you in that aspect?
I would say, like, freelance for me is definitely, at this point, like, something where I'm like, you know, if I can manage a project on the side, I'll definitely do that. In terms of freelance, we have our own, like, FanDuel has, like, our own network of designers and creatives that we work with. But at the same time, like, there are definitely two people that knew me from Design Twitter, bringing this whole conversation full circle. There's at least, I think, two people that I knew from Design Twitter that came to FanDuel and were like, oh my God, it's you. And I was like, it's you. And we were like, oh, we see you each other in real life. This is kind of cool, kind of weird, but kind of cool. And, you know, obviously our in-person relationships have grown since then. And it's kind of cool to see that part of Design Twitter come to fruition where you do meet somebody you've been following a long time and know about their work. And now you're working together in a collaborative way. Sorry if that was a big, like,
oh, no, circle. That was perfect. You brought it all home. It's exactly what I was shooting for. So outside of designing, what are some things that you like to do on a personal level in your leisure time, work-life balance, all of those cool things?
I enjoy going to the gym now. Definitely alleviates a lot of the design stress and design frustrations that we all as creative experience, you know. I enjoy swimming a lot also. That's a big pastime. I've been doing that since I was a kid. In fact, I'm a lifeguard. I've been a lifeguard for a long time now. And that's actually a second job. And as crazy as it sounds, it's a huge way to let off stress because it's such a different track from sitting in front of a laptop all day and creating and forcing my mind to think of things and follow through on things. Not that obviously, you know, I'm on autopilot while watching people swim, supposed to be protecting them, but, you know, it's definitely a different change of pace.
Yeah, that's cool. How do you share your time then? Because if you do a little bit of freelance on the side, you have a full-time job and then you have this, I don't want to call it a side job because it's a real job too, but as far as like splitting your time and making sure that you're, you know, making time for yourself.
That's a very good question. And I will tell you that I learned the hard way. Time management is important, not just with work, but with life. You know, and it's more like lifeguarding right now is something I do once a week. And the people I work with know I'm, you know, obviously old enough to be able to prioritize other stuff over that because I have a full-time job. But time management is important. Like, you know, if I have the opportunity to go to sleep early, I go to sleep early now. I don't force myself to stay up. If it's a freelance project, I make sure I communicate with my wife. That, hey, I'm actually going to be up for a while because I'm working on something, you know, after I'm done with my full-time job. But yeah, I think that's really what I owe it to is just making sure that I hold myself accountable and that I'm honest with myself about how I handle my time.
So going back to some of the design, is there something that you've done at FanDuel that you is like your most proud piece of work that you've worked on since you've been there?
That's an amazing question. And yes, there is. So prior to me getting there, there was no dedicated motion graphic designer, as I understand. And I had motion graphics as a secondary tool, you know, aside from, you know, usual design. So my creative director actually challenged me with helping to create what was our first App Store video for FanDuel. So for both Sportsbook and Daily Fantasy. So I actually did both those videos. Apparently they helped performance of downloads and views pretty well. And I still think that was about 3 years ago now. And I still think that's one of my favorite things and one of the best things I could ever do to help the company. Also, that was a major breakthrough.
Nice. So you talk about motion design and we talk about, you know, multi-skilled creators here all the time. When did you say, like, I'm assuming you were a designer first and then you started mm-hmm. doing some motion design. When did that click in your mind of like, okay, I want to start doing motion design, and what set you down that path and how did you get started that way?
Another full circle moment. Basically, I was in college at the end of, you know, my years there. I was at my fourth year. I had electives and I saw motion graphics as an elective, and I ended up taking it and falling in love with After Effects, ironically. All the projects, I loved doing them. And then basically it was just a side thing that I used for freelance and just keep myself sharp. And again, it kind of went back to my love of illustration, comic books, and watching cartoons and stuff as a kid. I was like, okay, well, this is the closest I'm going to get to actually, you know, making a cartoon in some ways, or at least animating in some physical form. Even if it's for specifically designed, but you know, it's something that I've kept doing, that I've kept learning and growing. And honestly, I encourage others to, you know, if they think there's something that they're interested in, just go for it. Like, if it's an elective class, if it's, you know, a question you want to ask a colleague, just go for it, and you never know where it's going to take you.
Is there a specific skill that you talked a little bit about the typography earlier, and can maybe just have you talk a little bit about how your design background helps you when you go into the motion? Do you create artboards and everything up front and then animate it, or how does that process work for you?
It depends on the project, really. But yeah, storyboards are usually the way to go first. If I'm designing something static, in the back of my mind is always the thought of, okay, if this were to move, what would it look like, and how would I structure it so that it can move if the ask comes? So that's usually the first step when I'm creating something for motion graphics or something that eventually will become a motion project.
That's good, like, creative director talk, because if you're already thinking that way, even if it's not you doing the motion, right, that makes it easier for you to communicate to a motion designer, you know, how things work if you have that in mind at the beginning of a project. So that's really interesting.
Absolutely, yeah.
Is there anything that you do to set it up for motion? You just mentioned that you design it with the thought process of the motion. Do you design it in a different way to make it more applicable to the motion?
Mm-hmm. As with files nowadays, I definitely treat them like somebody else could pick them up later and work on them. So those who have probably seen my tweets would guess this, but naming my layers is probably the biggest part of organizing and creating something that's cohesive for motion. You know, when you take something from Photoshop into After Effects, usually it takes all that information with it. So whatever you named your layers, whatever groups you created, layer effects you have, it's going to be right there. It might look a little different because of, you know, resolution and whatnot, but you have nobody to blame but yourself if it comes in and you're confused as to where things are or the order of things, or you have to rejig some stuff just to make the motion more cohesive.
So you were able to take part in the brand update last year with the new look and feel. Can you walk us through brand update?
Sure. It was a big thing for us as a company, because you know, here we were, you know, a sports betting company that's kind of a pioneer of at least the mobile sports betting world as it is right now. And we were looking to create a new look that really differentiated us from competitors in a major way. And I think it was interesting because first we, you know, our creative director told us to just kind of stick with the brand guidelines when we first rolled it out. And we had, you know, it was interesting because prior to that, we had been able to use whatever typefaces we want and whatever color, well, depending on the project, whatever colors we want. But here we were with this new palette of tools to use, but we had to stay within the lines, which is interesting. And our creative director, you know, really worked with us to be as creative as possible within these lines. And I think it was a good exercise for everyone involved, not just the creatives, to be like, okay, this is our new brand. It's going to take the entire team to really take this boat that's been built and push it out for its maiden voyage. And I think it really, you know, what came out of that was really awesome. And the new look is awesome. And I think it is distinctive from the competitors.
I think some people would struggle with those constraints though, right? Is that like, as a designer, you had quote unquote freedom to use whatever palettes you wanted, but is there also freedom in having those constraints and knowing what the bounds are to be able to create content within?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's kind of like a, if you look at, you know, from a workout, from a sports take, it's kind of like a drill. It's like, okay, you have these parameters and you have to meet this goal. You know, it's like you're working with a, I guess, like a time limit or like a, you know, some kind of, you know, not handicap, but something that, you know, you're supposed to adhere to. So I think working within brand guidelines can be very good. And sometimes, you know, it might be a little frustrating, but also giving yourself a challenge to try and be creative as you can so that, you know, you push those lines just so subtly, but not so much that it breaks the brand. I think that there's something awesome when you really achieve that.
What's some advice that you like to give or would like to give to younger creatives, whether it's designers or aspiring motion designers in the space of getting into this and how to find longevity in this industry?
Always be ready to learn and always be hungry. I think you're going to have times where you might not feel as creative as you might have felt the day before or the month before, but those come and go like waves. So just always be ready to learn, always be ready for, you know, a chance to do your best whenever you can.
And on top of that, what's some advice that maybe you received along the way and, you know, from who are some people that you kind of leaned into to try to get advice from as you've climbed through this industry as long as you have?
Really good piece of advice is just networking. Going back to Twitter is just, you know, we're all in this together. We're all designers. We have all gone through very similar things, if not the same things at one point. So, you know, you're really not alone. And that's one of the best things that a couple of designers, and even I think a creative director I worked with at one point said, it's like, you're not alone in this journey. Like, your journey is your own, but in the experience itself, there's someone who's always had something something similar. So when you're, you know, when you're struggling with something, don't be afraid to reach out to somebody. Don't be afraid to say, I don't know the answer. Those moments make you human. And we as designers are charged with creating art that is human. So,
on your LinkedIn page, you talk about growth. Feels like that's kind of what you're talking about. You've also mentioned, you know, picking up motion design and adding that to your toolkit and taking that on for FanDuel. How do you think about growth opportunities and figure out which opportunity you want to take next in your growth journey?
Nothing ventured, nothing gained. I mean, like, obviously, yes, you want to be cautious sometimes depending on the situation, but, you know, if you see an opportunity, go for it. If you see something you like to learn, go for it. You have nothing to lose, really, especially from a creative standpoint. The worst you can do is try something and go, oh, that's not for me. All right. Quick fact, I did a theater in high school. And I think that unintentionally prepared me for design reviews, because basically it's like, it's the same thing as standing up in front of a director or your teacher and defending your work.
Yeah.
I mean,
that's a good point.
So with that being said, with a theater background in high school, where was the split off? Like, when did you decide that, okay, I don't want to be in front of a camera. I want to kind of just design.
I think it's more like the anxiety is different. There's anxiety in both, but theater anxiety is a whole different monster. I think anybody who has performed before will definitely agree with that. But yeah.
Well, thank you so much for making Creative Sports Podcast part of your day. We'd love to hear your thoughts, feedback, and suggestions, so pop on over to the Sports Creative Community on Slack and connect with us and your fellow creatives. If you're enjoying this podcast, we'd love it if you shared it with a friend or a coworker, and leave us a 5-star rating so other people will be able to find us as well. And don't forget to subscribe so that you're the first person to catch each new episode. Remember, the world needs your voice, so keep creating.